But for the last couple of weeks in our series through the Pilgrim's Progress, we've actually been reading about the long-anticipated arrival to and entrance in the celestial city by our two pilgrims, Christian and Hopeful. And of course, remember that another one of those pilgrims, Faithful, had already been to the celestial city because he was martyred in the city in the town of Vanity Fair. And really, if we were writing the story of the Pilgrim's Progress, we might have thought that would have been the end, and really would have been a good place to end the entire story. But that's not how John Bunyan thought it best to end. Because in the final paragraph that we're going to come to tonight, we discover the true mission, as well as really the true heart of John Bunyan. He had the heart of a pastor. See, before John Bunyan was ever a famous author, and he really is one of the most famous authors in the English language, but he was a country pastor. And even though today the town of Bedford is really now a city and it's got over 100,000 people, back in his day, it was sort of a old backwater town, probably not unlike Mohawk. And yet, God called him to serve those people in that town, to share with them the blessed truths of the gospel of Christ. And so what we're going to read tonight reflects a pastor's heart. For pilgrims who may not finish their pilgrimage at the destination they thought belonged to them, but instead, they might hear those fateful words of Jesus, "I never knew you." So let's turn back in our editions of the Pilgrim's Progress and go to page 103. Actually, 102. And we're just going to read the last two lines there and really read right up until the conclusion, which we will get to in a couple weeks. Bunyan continues. "Now, while I was gazing upon all these things," of course, Christian now and Hopeful are within those gates, they're in Celestial City, they've found their rest in their home. "But while the dreamer is gazing upon all these things, I turned my head to look back and saw Ignorance." Remember him? We've looked at him a few times already. "He saw Ignorance come up to the riverside, but he soon got over, and that without half that difficulty which the other two men met with. For it happened that there was then in that place one Vain Hope, a ferryman, that with his boat helped him over. So he, as the other I saw, did ascend the hill to come up to the gate, only he came alone. Neither did any man meet him with the least encouragement. When he was come up to the gate, he looked up to the writing that was above, and then began to knock, supposing that entrance should have been quickly administered to him. But he was asked by the men that looked over the top of the gate, 'Whence came you, and what would you have?' He answered, 'I have eat and drank in the presence of the king, and he is taught in our streets.' Then they asked him for his certificate, that they might go in and show it to the king. So he fumbled in his bosom for one and found none. Then said they, 'Have you none?' But the man answered never a word. So they told the king, but he would not come down to see him, but commanded the two shining ones that conducted Christian and Hopeful to the city to go out and take Ignorance and bind him hand and foot and have him away. Then they took him up and carried him through the air to the door that I saw in the side of the hill and put him in there. Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction. So I awoke, and behold, it was a dream." And that's the entire text of the Pilgrim's Progress. And again, not probably the way we would want a story to end. But Bunyan was no ordinary author. He really had a pastor's heart, and he wanted to stir people to really make sure, to make, as we see from 1 Peter 1:11, to make their calling and election sure, to give diligence, to make sure that when you reach that gate, you will enter and be welcomed by the Lord. You see, this is not the ending that we would have expected. This is not the ending that we would have wanted from a book of fiction. But it's the way that Pastor Bunyan wanted to end it, to prick the hearts of all who read his story so that we might all truly be ready. You see, when it's your turn, and when it's your time, and we're all going to come to that time where we need to knock at that gate, yet you don't want to make the same mistake that ignorance made. And what was that mistake? What was his mistake? In the words of commentator George Cheever, he says, "The most dreadful mistake is to dream on of heaven, only to awake and find yourself in heaven." That is a dreadful mistake indeed. And yet, you think, well, that can't happen. And yet, it really is a mistake that even Jesus anticipated. So let's first turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at several passages. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we find the words of Jesus himself, not in a parable form. In fact, this has its basis in reality. Matthew 7, 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, those are sobering words in and of themselves, aren't they? How many times have we said that? Lord, how many times have we prayed that? Lord, how many times have we had fellowship singing about the Lord? And yet, what does Jesus say? "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 21 again. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He goes on, verse 22, "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Note carefully that in the verses that we just read, the person who approaches Jesus to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he thinks that he knows Jesus. In fact, he thinks that he's serving him. I've prophesied in your name. I've preached. I've taught. I was a Sunday school teacher for all those years. He even thought that he was following him. He even says unto Jesus, "Lord, Lord, Master, Master." But according to Jesus, if that's as far as it goes, he knows nothing of him. This man knows nothing of Jesus, and Jesus knows nothing of him. And the gates of the kingdom will remain closed while he is escorted to hell where he truly belongs. Now, that's not a real feel-good end of a story, is it? I mean, I think that if Bunyan was in this time and he went to a publisher, they would probably say, why don't you take out that last paragraph and then you'll have a blockbuster? But no, he kept that paragraph in there. And it still became a blockbuster. Why? Because it rings true. It rings true to what we find in the scriptures. You see, Bunyan believed that this was the most necessary end. In fact, Bunyan himself would write in another place, "There is no such loss as to the nature of loss as is the loss of the soul. For he that hath lost his soul hath lost himself. A man may lose his wife, his children, his estate, his liberty, even his life, and have all made up again. But when a man has lost himself, his soul, then all is gone to all intents and purposes." And so he didn't want to end his story with just the pilgrims up in heaven in the celestial city. He wanted to bring it home to the hearers, home to the readers, home to you and I, to make sure that we will be one of the pilgrims, the true pilgrims, that will find home in heaven someday. So the question I want us to think about as we go through this is, what caused ignorance to make this most dreadful mistake? What caused ignorance to make this dreadful mistake? And really, thinking that he knew him, thinking that he was serving Christ, thinking that he was following Christ, and yet he knew none of him. How could someone make such a dreadful mistake? And really, we need to make sure that we don't make that dreadful mistake. I remember as I was going through college, one of the things that was instilled in us in some of the Bible classes and things was what Paul said, that he needed to take heed to himself, lest by any chance he would become a castaway. You see, those who say, Lord, Lord, can deceive themselves into thinking that that is all that is necessary. To say the right words, to think the right thoughts, but have they truly been born again through the gospel of Christ? And that's really what I want us to consider in the rest of our time tonight. So how could ignorance make this most dreadful mistake? First of all, he had no encouragement in life as to the condition of his soul. And so he had no encouragement and really no assurance at his death. Again, why could he make a mistake? He had no encouragement in life as to the condition of his soul, and so he had no encouragement and no assurance at his death. Bunyan gave this man his name, Ignorance, not because he was ignorant of the truth, but rather because he ignored it. And that's really the case of so many today. They know a lot about the truth. They've heard the truth. They've read the truth. They've been to services over and over again, but that's not why they're ignorant. They're ignorant because they've ignored the truth. And here we have ignorant being willingly ignorant, even as so many are today. So what was he willingly ignorant of? Well, he willingly ignored the warnings of the Word of God. He willingly ignored God's warnings. In fact, you know, Scripture is full of warnings. It's not just all about the pie-in-the-sky, celestial city kind of things. The things that we enjoy dwelling on, like we did the last couple of Sundays. But there are warnings, real, serious, severe warnings in Scripture. It says you need to prepare to meet your God. Well, he thought these warnings were for others, not for himself. And instead, when he came up to the gate, and when he saw those words of blessing that were in letters of gold, the same letters that the Christian and hopeful saw, oh, he automatically thought that those blessings, those words belonged to him. But he was sadly and tragically mistaken. He willingly ignored God's warnings. Then he also willingly ignored the witness of the Word of God. He willingly ignored God's witnesses, including the strong testimonies of these two true friends, Christian and hopeful. They were more friends to him than he was to them. In fact, we heard some of those testimonies with our own ears as we went through the story in those deep paragraphs as they were walking along the pathway together. And hopeful, he had such a tender heart. Christian was kind of a little brazen at that point. I think he was kind of thinking, well, let's just let him go. But hopeful says, no, there might be hope for him. And so they continued to share their testimony and share the witness of what God had done for them. In fact, Christian even warned him. He warned ignorance about approaching the gate of heaven unprepared. You don't need to turn back there, but Christian said this to ignorance. You came not at the wicket gate, he said. The wicket gate is that narrow gate, the narrow gate of Christ. Instead, he says to ignorance, you came hither through that same crooked lane. And therefore I fear, however thou mayest think of thyself, when the reckoning day shall come, thou shalt have laid to thy charge that thou art a thief and a robber, instead of getting admittance into the city. And I think Christian proved very prophetic, because that day had come. That reckoning day had come. And it will all come. It will always come to someone who dies, and to all of us. For ignorance, that day of reckoning had arrived. And ignorance remained both willfully ignorant of both the Savior and himself. He really didn't know Jesus. He really didn't know himself. He thought he could make his way into heaven on his own. He thought there really wasn't that much bad in him. Surely they would open up the gates, but he didn't know Christ. He didn't know the holiness of God, and he didn't know the unholiness of his own nature. Because he also willingly ignored the weakness of his soul. The weakness of his soul as revealed through the Word of God. If you remember, ignorance was from another country known as the country of deceit. The country of deceit. So he thought pretty highly of himself. He was conceited. And so the character of ignorance actually reflected the character of the prince of that country, who we all know by the name of Lucifer. In fact, turn with me now to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 14, where we meet this prince, the prince of the country of conceit. And what we find is that the words of this prince were actually the feelings of ignorance's own heart. These words are first addressed to the prince, addressed to Lucifer. When the Lord says, "How art thou fallen?" Isaiah 14, 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Now, maybe ignorance didn't go to the extreme that Lucifer did, but he went pretty close. Because I'm sure even ignorance in his own mind was thinking, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit also among the mount in the sides of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds." You see, like Lucifer, ignorance thought he had a claim on heaven when he really didn't. He thought heaven was his home when really it was not. You see, he was never convinced of his own weakness. He was never convinced of his own wickedness. He was never convinced of the true depravity of his soul. But that sin doesn't just go skin deep. That depravity goes all the way to the heart, all the way to the soul. And so he never sought for salvation in Christ alone. He thought he could get there a little bit on his own, or maybe all he needed was just a little assistance, a little help, just a little nudge from the Lord, and he could get there. But what does it say in verse 15 of this same chapter? The Lord said to Lucifer, the Lord said even to ignorance, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And so he was. Ignorance had a false assurance of heaven. He had a false assurance because it was a self-assurance. His faith was in who he was and in what he did instead of who Christ was and what Christ did. His faith was in his own merits and not in the mercy of Christ. And so from the Word of God, he had no true encouragement as to the condition of his soul. In fact, he never really explored Scripture to see if he was safe from hell. So he had no true encouragement, not in life, not in death. And that was, in the words of George Cheever, that most dreadful mistake. But it was a mistake that will last for eternity. But another reason how he could make that mistake is, number two, he had no escort in life. He had no escort in life, so he had no escort at his death. No escort. Well, he had one escort, if you remember. If you remember that. It was in the ferry of Vain Hope. So there was a guy with some kind of boat that was able to carry him over this river of death. Now, again, Bunyan had a great imagination. We know that can't happen. But Bunyan puts it this way to show that when he died without half the difficulty of Christian and hopeful. If you remember, Christian was overwhelmed, feeling like he was drowning in the midst of that river of death. Why? Because he knew that without the mercy of Christ, he would have nothing to put his feet on. He knew that he would sink all the way down to Hades, all the way down to hell. And yet here we have this self-assured, ignorant man who hopped in the ferry of Vain Hope thinking, "Hey, death is no problem for me because I know where I'm going. I have no problem reaching that celestial city." And so it was a fairly smooth ride across for him. But as we read, just because a person has a fairly smooth ride across the river of death, that is no guarantee of heaven. Even Asaph, that great singer in the Old Testament, understood that many times, even for the wicked, Psalm 73, verse 4, there are no bands in their death. Now, what does he mean by that? One writer explains it, that means that at death, even the wicked have no fears, no doubts, no sorrows, or even no terror from the enemy. And we would think it would be the opposite. We would think that if someone's going into eternity without Christ, that they would truly be horrified. But if they were horrified, they would turn to Christ. But what happens is that the devil already has them. He has them right where he wants them. And so he's not going to bring any further torture or torment or horror into their passing, because he knows that they're going to enter into the very pit that he is. So apart from his ferry crossing, ignorance had no other escort across the river. You see, when ignorance started to ascend the hill after he died, and again, we know that this is sort of, again, imaginative license of an author. When he started to ascend that hill, which no unbeliever will or can, he did so alone. But do you remember when Christian Hopeful went up the hill? This was two Sunday nights ago. They were guided by two angels, two shining men, who even held them up by their arms to guide them right where they needed to go. Ignorance was alone. No escort. When Ignorance came up to the gate, he did so alone. And yet, if you remember, when Christian and Hopeful got to the gate, they were encouraged by the angels with the hopes of heaven. They were describing what heaven would be like. And we were along with them, just drinking it in and feasting on what the scriptures teach us that heaven's going to be like. But again, Ignorant got to the gate all by himself. No escort. And then when Ignorance knocked at the gate, he knocked alone. Not even Christian and Hopeful dared to knock. I thought that was interesting as we were reading through that. I went back to go check. They didn't knock because they didn't feel worthy to knock. They didn't feel like God should open it up to them, because they knew they were sinners and the only way that they could have entrance is through the mercy and the grace of the King. And so it was faith and trust in him alone. But what happened? Well, Ignorance knocked because he thought his entrance, Bunyan writes, would be quickly administered. Oh, this is just a formality. Just come on and let me in already. But Ignorance remained outside the gate alone. And that reason was because before the river, in his life, he also had no escort. He had no escort at death because he had no escort in life. He had no certificate. Now, this is a concept that we see throughout the Pilgrim's Progress, and simply that certificate is the proof of citizenship in the kingdom of God. Proof of citizenship that in the celestial city. And yet, he had no passport stamped with the approval of God. I remember the first trip that I took out of this country, and I got my passport, and I was so excited because now I could travel. I could go to places that I'd only dreamed about or read about in the history books, and it was special to me. And one of the interesting things about that is that there's some writing there from the Secretary of State to say to anyone else who I might pass by to just let me go through and then to bring me safely back home when the time comes. Well, Ignorance thought that heaven was his home. Of course, he was self-deceived, but he really had no passport book to prove that he was a citizen of heaven. Turn with me now to the book of 1 John, the letter of 1 John, all the way back in the New Testament. Because in 1 John chapter 3 and even chapter 5, we actually find the passport stamps that prove that we are part of the celestial city. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, we're told this. John writes, "Hereby we know that he abideth in us, that God abideth in us." How? By the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which he hath given us. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 8, 9, Paul even writes, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." In other words, the seal of God is his Spirit. And if you have a passport showing that you are a citizen of heaven, God himself will stamp that passport with his Holy Spirit. He will seal you and show you and demonstrate to you that you are his child. But without his escort in life, the escort of the Holy Spirit traveling along with you day by day, you are not ready for death. There's another stamp of approval, and that is earlier in this chapter, 1 John 3, 9 through 10, we're told that whosoever born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now jump over to chapter 5, 1 John 5, verse 1, where John also writes, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So not only is the proof of our citizenship the stamp and the seal of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but it's also the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that is born in our lives. These are birthmarks of Christians, and it includes faith, it includes obedience, it includes love, love for Christ, love for the brethren. We can add to these all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit that we find in Galatians chapter 5. But if we are not escorted in life with this fruit, we really aren't ready for death. And we really have no proof that we belong to the celestial city. And so when ignorance was asked to produce that certificate, the very proof of his citizenship in heaven, I like how Bunyan puts it, he fumbled in his bosom for one. And came up empty, found none. It's kind of like when I go in to get gas and I forget my wallet. I fumble around and I can't find it. And he was empty. He was empty inside too. He really had nothing to answer. And since he had been all alone before he crossed the river, no seal of God's approval, no Holy Spirit, no fruit of the Spirit, he was left all alone at his death. And that too was a most dreadful mistake. A mistake he really didn't have to make. No person has to make that mistake. If he had just swallowed his pride and trusted in Christ alone, trusted in that effectual call to find rest into his soul. But why else did he make this mistake? Third, number three, since he had no entrance in life, he would find no entrance into heaven at his death. No entrance in life, no entrance at death. Turn with me back to the Gospel of Luke. This will be the last passage that we turn to. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And I'd like to read verses 23 through 28, where if you think about what we just read, Bunyan actually sees ignorance being described by Christ in these verses. Luke 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, unto Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he, Jesus, said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Remember, that's that wicket gate that Christian had to go through, the gate of Christ. Strive to enter in at that straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Did you see ignorance in those words from what we just read earlier? And isn't that what ignorance said when you arrived at the gate? He told the gatekeepers really what is said to the Lord here in Luke 13, I have eat and drank in the presence of the king. Basically, he was saying, hey, I'm claiming to be a friend of the king. He knows me. He claimed to have enjoyed the fellowship of the king. We've eaten and drinking in this table. Even more, he claimed to be a follower of the king when he added, oh, he's even taught in our streets, and implying that he was there listening and hanging on every word. But all of these claims proved nothing, except that he thought more of his own importance and his own influence than the importance and influence and really the grace of the king. And so when Jesus came and knocked on his door, as we find in Revelation 3:20, he never let him in. He never let him in. If only ignorance had answered when Jesus called, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. But since there was no entrance given to Christ in ignorance's life, there would be no entrance given by Christ into his city. Instead, there would be that dreadful sound of rejection, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Again, no entrance to Christ in life will lead to no entrance by Christ at death, and that is a most dreadful mistake indeed. Now, even though to the narrator of our story, this was all but a dream, and of course, if you remember, one of the things that we see from Bunyan's life is usually when he got out of jail, he would take a pause in writing and it would say he woke from his dream, and then he would fall back to asleep. So at this point, I think he came back, after he got out of jail, or maybe he was really done with the story. But to Bunyan, as one writer says, it was a dream about the deepest of realities: biblical reality, moral reality, eternal reality, soul reality. And I hope as we went through this fictitious story of Christian and the Pilgrim's Progress that you realize that it really is about the truth. It is so full of Scripture. And it points us to the way, the truth, and the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. As John Kelman also once wrote, that dream of his was and still remains truer than most men's waking thoughts. There's a lot of people that live in a dream world of their own making, their own choosing. They live as if there is no God, or maybe they live as if God is one of their own making, and they've never truly repented of their sin and turned to and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation from their sin. They've never truly opened the door to the knocking of the gospel. And that is a dreadful mistake. So we must not make the same mistake of thinking of the Pilgrim's Progress as just another fantasy tale or really just another work of fiction, because it addresses the most serious issues of life and death. You see, to miss Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life is the most dreadful mistake we can ever make. So if you wonder about the condition of your own soul, how can you prevent that same mistake? You know, when Peter writes to believers to be diligent, to make sure, to make your calling and election sure, what he is saying is that none of us should rest on our past. None of us should rest on ourselves, but rather always make sure that our faith is resting in Christ alone. It's not that we just needed someone to boost us up like ignorant thought. It's not just getting another helper to get us the rest of the way. No, we needed someone to come down into the pit to pull us up because our feet were so stuck in that miry clay of sin. I'd like to close with these words again from George Cheever, because the way that you and I can prevent ourselves from making this same mistake is to find our safety in Christ. He writes, "There is safety where Christ is. There is safety where there is watchfulness and growth in grace. There is safety where there is much secret prayer. There is safety in giving all diligence to make your calling and election sure. There is safety in lying low at the feet of the Savior. There is safety in blessedness unspeakable, even here in a world of darkness and trial." So make sure that your soul finds its rest and safety not in any part of yourself, but wholly and only in your Savior. And in that way, you and I will prevent ourselves from making this same dreadful and really fatal mistake. Let's close in prayer. Father, I want to thank you again for the gift that you gave us in this book, which you allowed your servant, John Bunyan, to write, not just for his own church there in Bedford, but to really all the churches there in England and really to all of your people throughout the world. And of course, we know that he was not inspired as the writers of Scripture were inspired, but he was so steeped in your word that he wanted to portray in this story just another parable, another allegory that will point out the serious realities of life and death. And Lord, I want to thank you that what we just learned even tonight is that the end of every person's story is not always a good ending. It doesn't always end for every person like it did for Christian and for Hopeful and for so many others that we have known and loved. There are many who are willingly ignorant because they've ignored your truth, whose end has been tragic, whose end is in hell. And of course, we know that there are others who are ignorant just because of their own nature, their own sinful, depraved nature, because they've not sought after you. They've not understood you. They've not responded to the grace that you displayed to them, even in the creation, the good creation that you've made. And so the end for them is also tragic. And so, Lord, I think that that is the pastor's heart of Bunyan, to portray that same tragic situation for us in this story. But, Lord, it really is not just about others, it's about us. Lord, help us to see if we are in the condition and the state of ignorance. Help us to not just rest in our own assurance, but rather make sure that any assurance that we do have is based on what we find in Scripture. It's based on our faith in the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's an assurance based on the seal of the Holy Spirit of God within us. That it's based on the fruit of the Spirit that is being born and cultivated out in our lives each and every day. Because, Lord, there are a lot of people who claim the name of Christian, and yet they are living lives that exclude Christ entirely. And they live that way seemingly without care. And thus they show that they are without Christ. There are people today, Lord, who, again, claim that they know Christ, that they've served Christ, that they have followed after Christ, and yet they do not hear the voice of Christ when he calls. They've crowded him out in their lives because of the busyness of life, because of the cares of this world, because of the deceitfulness of riches, because of their own selfish interests, because of their own sin. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us here tonight to assess our own walk and relationship with you. Help us, Lord, not to delude ourselves, thinking that we're okay and all right with you when we're really not. I pray, oh, Lord, that you'll help us to see that it's Christ alone where we find that safety. It's Christ alone in whom we find that assurance. It's in Christ alone where we can go for the peace that we need when we're struggling even with doubts. But Father, I also thank you that we don't have to live with those doubts, because we can know that we have eternal life. And so, Father, I pray that we will turn from the tragedy of this kind of mistake and then go on and to live the pilgrimage that you've called us to live, always looking unto Jesus, not ourselves, not others, always looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us to not make this same mistake. And then, Lord, help us also to help others not make this same mistake. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.